Good evening. This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY. My guests this evening are Neil Copland, Executive VP, and Lehigh Valley and Delaware Region President, People's Securities Bank and Trust, and Bruce Palmer, Managing Shareholder, Bucknell Lisicki & Company, and Thomas Dodd, Interim Executive Director, Lehigh Northampton Airport Authority. Welcome. This evening, we are going to review the results of the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce Cameron Afshar Survey of Local Businesses, which was conducted in January 2018. Just a little background. The Survey of Lehigh Valley Businesses is a quarterly survey that we have been doing since 1998. Yes, we have been doing this for a long time, which incidentally includes two recessions and two recoveries. So we have a lot of data for comparison. According to the January survey, the Lehigh Valley Business Sentiment Index, after dropping for three quarters in a row, rose in January. And despite its increase, it is still below its January 2017 level, and it's still trending down. The index for hiring for the last 6 months rose by a significant 5.3% from October, but it is still below its January 2017 level. Long-term data shows payroll employment in the valley dropping since June of 2016. While the decline is very small and it looks more like a standstill, the fact that it is not growing is of concern, particularly since employment at the national average is continuing to grow. Also, the number of initial unemployment claims which are being filed has dropped to a level which is associated with tight labor market in the valley based on historical data. Okay, gentlemen, you have seen the data. What do you think? Neil?
Good evening, Cameron, and thank you for allowing me to be on your program tonight.
Oh, my pleasure.
In looking at it, if you tie it back to the first point since the president has taken office and all the excitement around that, you saw the results in your survey, and then lessening over time as I think he was trying to get his agenda put into place. Mm-hmm. I see what we're seeing here in the latest survey is driven around the success on the tax cut. And I think also you're seeing another reason for this is why it's not jumping to previous levels, because it's going to fall back to cautious or guarded optimism, mm-hmm. And allow everybody to absorb the long-term impacts that this tax cut will have.
Tom, what do you see?
Well, I think I would echo Neil. And first off, thank you very much for having me on the program this evening.
Oh, you're welcome.
But I think, you know, from an airport perspective, we've noticed these similar trends in terms of what's happening with hiring. Mm-hmm. And I think from our perspective, we do see this trend kind of continuing. It's been a tight labor market. We see that. And how that translates into what's happening in the Lehigh Valley, particularly, again, looking at it with the airport glasses on, and seeing the market from an e-commerce standpoint, mm-hmm. and what that's doing here. From Neil's perspective is how that's going to translate moving forward, and we just aren't going to see that growth like we've seen anytime soon.
With the airport growth and all of those things happening with Amazon, and we see all those huge airplanes called Prime flying around. You can find all the expert labor that you need to hire, because you don't hire just anybody, I assume. I hope.
You're right. There's a couple of requirements to working at an airport, and but you're right. There's a very competitive labor market in looking at that type of segment. So we're really competing with that warehousing labor market, and as we know, that's a very tight market here in the Lehigh Valley, and competitive against multiple businesses here. So we've experienced the same element, and we're always looking to figure out a way to make sure we can staff appropriately and retain staff, and it's becoming more and more challenging to do so.
Bruce, you have a lot of clients in a variety of different types of businesses. What do you see?
Well, thank you, Cameron, for allowing me to be here again today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for
coming. Most of our businesses are closely held businesses, so they're not the large corporations which probably benefit the most from some of the benefits of the new tax bill. I think the thrust there was more toward the international companies, repatriating some of the money that might be overseas, increasing employment, et cetera. For our clients, the closely held businesses, I think they're still a little bit cautious, waiting to see how this plays out. There is some degree of optimism, however, which is encouraging. I'm not sure that will translate into more hiring. I think what we touched on in the program already, there's a disconnect between unskilled labor and skilled labor. There's definitely a shortage of skilled labor. When you talk to the workforce development people, that's a big challenge to get people who aren't trained up to speed, get them skills to be employable. And I think that remains a challenge even today.
Yeah, and our population in the Lehigh Valley is is graying faster than the national average. 18% of our population are 65 plus. Average for the nation is 15. So we are at the level that we have more people who are probably getting close to retirement, and that will affect, obviously, the market. And we have seen that in the labor supply, the availability of people for work. But as we are going forward, the bigger part is the separation between expertise. And as everything becomes more technically oriented, the requirements for that knowledge, that ability to do it versus just being able to go somewhere, say, I'm available and I can work. Okay, let's look at the type of companies that hired or fired over the last 6 months. Interestingly enough, the size of the companies had a lot to do with what they did. The smallest businesses in the valley, those with less than 11 employees, which incidentally there are 7 out of 10 businesses in Lehigh Valley in that fashion, they are the ones that stayed or kept constant the most. The smallest one, the 1 to 5 employees, 82% of them didn't make any changes. 6 to 10 employees, 67% of them didn't make any changes. The largest increase in hiring was with companies with more than 100 employees on one end. And the other one was the those with 21 to 50 employees, the ones we call agile companies. And Neil, with the customer base you have, I'm sure you have seen this. These are large enough to be able to do something and have money a little bit to be able to do it, mm-hmm. but small enough to be able to make a decision and get it done before the next century.
No, definitely. And my hope is not I'm not expect to be in banking into the next century myself. And you know, in listening through and Bruce speaking and you know, all the way through this process is that when you're dealing with smaller businesses and with whether there's tax changes or there's optimism around the economy, whether they're going to change to make decisions to change their employees increase and or decrease. They have a lot less capital they can put to risk mm-hmm. in whether the choice is to expand or maintain. Profit margins also are not something that have widened over the years. Whether you're looking at banking, which is seeing interest rates go up for the first time in a long time in this sense. So when you're in a small business, your margin for error to overhire is not there. And I would also like to believe in the businesses that I work with is that it's how tight the labor market is that they want to retain their good employees. So in a lot of cases, it becomes a situation where they have to focus on doing that. And if that means holding hiring somebody off to do that, that becomes a decision. Mm-hmm. And the other equation that falls continually with the small businesses is the fact that the health care has not been resolved. And that is a very large cost to all businesses today, mm-hmm. whether it's the airport authority or it's somebody with five employees. They have to figure out what to do because that's what's ballooning and could be offsetting all the other advantages that we see coming forward.
Tom, many people may not know that one of the major businesses that the Airport Authority does is leasing all these buildings to people who want to be around the airport. And other than some crazy people like me who like the sound of the engine of airplane, why would anybody want to be close to the airport?
Well, I mean, I think that's a great question. It's certainly an economic engine for the region. And we hear that time and again that businesses are looking to be in the area because of the air service component. And we always think about that from a passenger air service perspective. Mm-hmm. I think the air cargo piece is another piece that we've seen grow recently in the area, and how that's also attracting businesses because of that service sector. And so I think, you know, to Neil's point, the challenge is, you know, the authority is a real quasi-governmental agency. So we operate a lot like a government and a lot like a business. And, you know, working with Neil, it is a challenge for us to make sure that we can continue to fill, you know, those open positions in the staff. But it's also important for us to maintain the talent. And that's really the key for us at this point, is making sure that we can keep the team together. And how do we do that? And, you know, you see that there's a lot of challenge, I guess, for competition in those areas. And so people even though we see a lot of people are staying in the Lehigh Valley based on your statistics, we know that there's a lot of people that are in terms of a bedroom community, living here and working somewhere else. And so that's the other challenge that we face. And so it's not just that local market competition right here in the Valley, but, you know, outside in the region.
Bruce, you guys hire people who have special technical abilities, and how are you seeing the market in terms of your growth of your company?
Well, we continue to grow our firm at about 10 to 15% a year in terms of the top line revenue. The challenge that creates is, where do you find additional people to hire to be staff accountants, clerical assistants, et cetera? We're able to find younger people, freshly out of school, maybe a year or two out of school. Mm-hmm. The real tight market is in the experienced labor pool, somebody who's been in public accounting 5, 7, 8 years. There's not a lot of those people out there. The history has been most people, if they're in public accounting more than 2 or 3 years, make a decision, do I stay, do I leave public accounting, go work mm-hmm. a private company, work for the government, go teach, go into another career entirely. And so that's why there's somewhat a shortage there of those more experienced people. And that's a challenge for all CPA firms.
Yeah, I understand the burnout is pretty high on that among CPAs working with that taxing and CPA companies. But Neil touched on something I don't want to let go. That was the healthcare thing. I guess mm-hmm. you guys have read in the papers that a new giant healthcare called Amazon Prime is coming about. I don't know if they're going to use the jumbo jets they have at your airport, but I think that this could change the face of healthcare. And looking at what happened, the crash of a lot of stock prices dealing with healthcare indicates that there could be a competitive edge coming out of that process. Neil, what do you see there?
Well, again, to the point of the drop is nervousness in the marketplace, which I think affects a lot of things within your survey. But if you look into the future with that, with technology changes and keeping up with that, we have to figure out new ways of doing things. And that's one approach that, you know, hopefully can really change the world for the better and can open it up for, you know, more people over time and provide an opportunity. Yeah. Whenever there is a void in a service, you can count on the Amazons of the world who've been creative and changing business models and threatening, you know, solid organizations that have been business for many years. And I see it as a good thing because it reaches competition and it approaches out of the box thinking to create a new paradigm, and that's exactly what we need in that area.
Absolutely. Well, Tom, Amazon apparently going to use drones out of the airport to deliver healthcare to people. How would that work?
That's a great question. We'll have to think about how that's going to work. But I think that's part of exactly to Neil's point again. Just that heavily regulated industry when we think of healthcare and moving towards a place where you have some of that more entrepreneurial thinking in that marketplace, and it's ripe for that.
Yeah. Bruce, everybody dealing with the healthcare industry is aware of, obviously, as Tom said, how regulated it is and how everything has to be exactly that way because people's lives depends on it. However, the insurance segment of it is just a financial transaction. This has nothing to do with anything other than the same as we insure our car. If there is a trouble and it's an accident, you take your car to the garage you want, they fix it, and insurance company pays for it based on a pre-agreed contract. How would this healthcare thing be so different and so complicated and only in six counties here and only there? And shouldn't it be just a simple insurance transaction?
In theory, Cameron, I would agree. The reality, I hate to get political, but I think you have a government overlay that makes it very complicated and very regulated. So the two pieces involved in these transactions, the healthcare providers and the insurance companies, are both highly regulated. And when you mix those two together, I think it makes it difficult even for something the size of an Amazon to get involved. In most cases, with their other business models, they can bring scale and leverage to the fore to have an advantage. I'm not sure that's a real advantage in this situation. But obviously, it's a perceived threat based on what's happened in the stock market to the stocks of those insurance companies.
Yeah, it's a concept of that level of competition that it's coming about with. And you look at J.P. Morgan involved and Berkshire Hathaway and all of these, and Amazon with its unbelievably good customer service experience and history, and the bank there with the money, and Berkshire Hathaway with the business experience. They have a good number of insurance companies as part of their portfolio to start with. So it's not that these people have to learn how an insurance company runs. It is the application of it and the ability to expand across the nation and go through all these barriers, as you said, that it's set because of regulators, government entities. Okay, guys, we are getting to the first break. This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY.
In 2018, WDIY is celebrating 23 years on the air. If you listen to WDIY, support the station by becoming a member today. Members are our most reliable source of support. We couldn't be here without you. To become a member, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7. WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond.
This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY. My guests this evening are Neil Copland, Bruce Palmer, and Tom Stott. Gentlemen, welcome again. And we get to our second segment. The index of plans for future hiring dropped slightly in January. However, this index is still trending up. This is one of the rare ones. Historically, we have observed our employers' hiring plans to be usually more optimistic than their actual actions and have developed a model to account for that. The more interesting part of this index is that hiring plans, even in terms of positive or negative, are more affected by size than many other factors. For example, we have seen that companies with 51 to 100 employees appear to be more agile than others. Smaller companies are usually slow to move. However, we see in January data that companies which have 6 to 10 employees show strong plans to increase employment in the next 6 months. And gentlemen, as you can see in the chart, of course we can't show this on the radio, but we are looking at it. The companies with 51 to 100 employees have been expanding faster than others going back to April of last year. And this is a very common thing in our area to see a segmented growth, even in terms of planning. And of course, one of the new events that are happening is the new set of automation that is taking place across the country. Now, one segment that is expanding faster than any other in Lehigh Valley is transportation warehousing. And Tom, they're building around the airport, and you see all of those guys happening and expansion. And we have something like 28,000 people working in this sector. And nationwide, we have around 2.8 million people who are commercial drivers and in this area. But I don't know if you have met something called Auto. This is a self-driving long-haul truck, which has way past planning and beta tests and all of that, actually delivered 50,000 cans of beer in Colorado over 120 miles. And the person who was in control of it was a gentleman which was sitting in the back, was one of the programmers. But the job that will get to the next person who is sitting in back of that truck and the training that person needs are relatively straightforward. Person needs to know three things. One, how to press the override button. Two, how to pull the truck to the side of the road. And three, how to push help. This is slightly different from a commercial truck driver that goes through months of training. And of course, all community colleges and others locally are putting these plans for people to get this training, and it is not cheap to do it. This is going to change the face of this operation altogether. From months of training goes to 3 hours of training on that whole thing. Conceivably, the pay for the same will be also different. Another thing that is changing as we are going forward is the fact that despite the fact that we are buying 17 million cars and light trucks a year, the usage of car, the need to purchase cars, personal cars, is going to change because our cars are 95% of time parked somewhere. All cars are already parked in the parking lot up front. At night, they are parked in our garage, and most of the time, they're parked somewhere. Only 5% of time, we drive them. So if there is a self-driving car you can call in the morning, gets you to work, you can read your papers, do work as you are going there, and then call it to get you back where you want to go shopping with it. And you may have a 56 Chevy that you build up and work on it, and on weekends drive. The demand for even cars, regular cars that we purchase, will change significantly as we are going forward. Neil, what do you see in that?
Well, in commenting to that, there's a lot we can talk about that is on how technology has impacted all of our professions and all the industries. You know, banking has seen such dramatic increase in technology that it has dramatically reduced the need for standing branches today. Tremendous reduction in that area. When you're looking at driverless trucks and cars, the one thing I think we have to realize, and it might not be happening so much here in the Lehigh Valley right now, in Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton, is that there is a population, younger population, that are living in urban environments that don't even own cars. And they're using transportation, they're using Uber to get around, and there's just no need to do so. And they have public transportation, subways, trains to get where they need to go, and everything is about the walkable today. So taking this a step further, just as like years ago, and with my daughters, and even so with my grandson, you know, my daughters today really don't understand what a typewriter is and how technology has eliminated that. And we're going to position ourselves into the future that the car will become second nature, I think. And asked for a full industry, the trucking industry, and the changes. I'm sitting in between two people with loads of experience when it comes to flying airplanes and managing airports, and I'm just thinking, why are we so surprised about this? Haven't we ever heard of autopilot? And because we figured out how to do this and can do it on the ground, the big issue is how do we interact the big tractor trailers safely with human drivers and having faith and trust? And I think we're going to get there. And I think it just requires us then to educate the workforce and be ready for the future.
Tom, Boeing has put out a circular saying that they are building self-flying airliners, and they say they don't need to invent anything new. Everything they're using is off the shelves, and it reduces the need for all these structure that it's in place right now. Of course, now it's only two pilots in the plane, and I'm sure that they will have to have one there somewhere just in case things don't work. But you and I both know that if the landing is very soft, it means that the autopilot is landing, not the pilot. So what do you see happening in that side of the technology?
Well, I mean, certainly that's, again, as you point out, the technology has been in these aircraft. It's part of the avionics in a lot of aircraft. So as a pilot, you can kind of sit back, to your point, and enjoy the ride yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're seeing that now, and can we see that graduate into the commercial aviation sector is really the question, where that pilot is not really controlling that aircraft on takeoff, for example. Is that a possibility? Can we see that and starting to see that proliferate? And when we can do that and we can use the technology effectively, how does that impact air traffic control jobs? You know, when we have all these safeguards in place from a technological standpoint, you know, it really changes the job of the air traffic controller in terms of keeping aircraft separated, and is that really necessary to have the staffing in those areas? So it really drives a great question, to your mm-hmm. point. If all of this automation enters that sector, what's the ripple effect in other areas of that business? So
even today, with the advent of SDSB, ADSB, that it's a system that pilots can see the other airplane in their cockpit. So the need for the air traffic controller to tell you that, oh, there is a traffic there and 3 miles ahead, 11 o'clock. What do you mean 11 o'clock? I can see him on my screen. It is this many degrees exactly because of the precision. And now you can even see what type aircraft that is and what direction it is going, what speed.
Correct.
A lot more accurate information than what the air traffic controllers of today try to convey to you, and that would reduce their load. So again, the need for as many air traffic controllers or as many pilots will be reducing as we are going forward.
Absolutely.
And Bruce, you just showed me a breaking news about a major retailer shutting down a few of their stores. And reminds me that Amazon on January 22nd opened its first cashier-less store in Seattle. And you go in this store and you buy, you shop everything, you walk out, everything is done. The only place that there is a line is going in because you have to register, say that you are coming in, and you do that, of course, with your telephones. And coming back, this change that is coming, the reduction in the need for having human beings, personnel doing things, is across the board. I was looking the other day at a commercial which was showing TurboTax, and the guy was talking to the telephone, and the telephone was answering the guy, no, you're okay on that. And that is...
So you're telling me I'm now obsolete, Cameron. Yes. Thank you.
No, no. As you know, my daughter is a CPA, too.
No, but you make a valid point with technology. If you look at various industries, retail for certain, grocery stores, the Home Depot's, Lowe's of the world, those types of retail locations, fast food. Go into a lot of fast food places, you have fewer workers, more kiosks, more self-order stations. There's no doubt for a lot of these businesses how to be competitive. You're cutting cost. The technology normally doesn't break down. It lasts a lot longer. It doesn't have sick days. It doesn't have health care benefits. It doesn't demand wage increases. And so that's a huge challenge for employees, how to adapt to this new environment as technology continues to replace some of those employable skills.
And, of course, with that, we are looking at if there is no need or there is much less need for people to work. Accordingly, all those wages are saved. But that is one side of the chart. The other side is wages that are not earned means income is not there for people. So the hamburger may become a lot more efficient in delivery, but if people don't have money to buy it, and this change is coming a lot faster than any other change we have gone through, because it took about 100 years for agriculture from being the major source of employment to becoming a very small part in the whole process. For manufacturing, it took about 25-30 years to drop from where it was in the 1970s to where it is now in terms of employment, which is much, much less. This thing is hitting us very fast. In 5 years' time, we're going to see a lot of these things implemented. This is not in Palo Alto only. It will be in Lehigh Valley. We're going to see these self-driving trucks and self-driving cars coming about. And adjustment for jobs is the important part in terms of planning ahead to be able to not get surprised and not go through a process for those of us who lived in Lehigh Valley during the decade of the 80s. We remember when Bethlehem Steel had its first heart attack, the whole place, the shape of the place changed. Everybody, the people were in a total surprise, and it was very hard to cope with a lot of events that were happening. So hopefully this time around we will have some planning going ahead with view of this change is coming a lot faster than any other change we have experienced and seen. Okay, back to the index. Something fun. The index for actual purchasing over the last 6 months rose by a significant 6%, and it is still below where it was January of 2017. After the election, the index of purchasing really went up, and a lot of companies did go out of their way, investing, spending, doing a lot of stuff. But then for three quarters in a row, the index really came down and came down rapidly. This time, right after the passage of the tax reduction bill, we see some increase in the index. Not enough to compensate for the drop of the three quarters, but still it is a change in direction. Purchasing plans for future also rose, this time smaller, 4% this year. But still, its trend is significantly downwards. And that is even more worrisome to me, because purchasing index for last 6 months, okay, that's behind us. In the future, why aren't companies planning to spend more in the future? Neil, what do you see? You guys don't lend money to them, don't let them borrow?
Yeah, not as much as the case. I think, first of all, there's every opportunity to lend. I think the environment is good as ever at the end of the day. I'm sitting here again restating, you know, very interestingly, you know, anticipation of good things to come last year.
Right.
And they didn't come. The good thing finally came. People learned a lesson. Wait a minute. So I think the purchasing is all anticipated on consumer spending in a lot of ways of a lot of things that are happening. And we haven't talked about this at this juncture, but I think it needs to be looked at is increasing of interest rates, which will be happening, you know, in all likelihood this year and has to fall to people's planning. So you have banks, you know, anticipating a better return on their loans. Mm-hmm. But quite frankly, on the deposit side, the depositors have been waiting a long time themselves.
Oh, yes.
For interest rate increases.
So you guys going to pay something now?
It is. We're going to give free grip discs away with every $100 deposit. But, you have all of this mixing going on mm-hmm. that's tempering things. And I think those you pile this all together. You look at, you know, the same thing with the housing market today. Is that we are in a steady time right now, but I'm not certain even in the housing market today whether it's a home builder can be tremendously optimistic that they're going to go back to the pre-Great Recession times, mm-hmm. because we've all learned the lessons of what it's like during that difficult time, and we don't want to get caught again. So I think a lot of this thought process goes into play is people want to trust this is real, mm-hmm. but are a little skeptical.
Tom, is the airport planning to expand and do anything that would be big in terms of impact on the region?
Sure. So I think a couple of initiatives we've probably seen, one of which is some of the non-aeronautical development and
hopefully
land sale.
Hopefully you'll pave the taxiways.
Paving of taxiways. I think we do have that. I think I'm not sure that it's covered in front of your hangar, but I think – you know, the non-aeronautical development is one of the things around the airport, and that's certainly a result of, you know, the consolidation in the airline industry. We've seen 9 carriers fold into 4, and as part of that, you know, we're as a regional airport always saying we've got great service to the hubs, but we just don't have that air service volume that we had in the past. And so looking at how we grow our base and say, well, you know, the non-aeronautical component is a big one for us. We have the real estate assets. And so land sales for us, you're seeing a lot of work that we've done with Rockefeller, for example, and some land sales there. And Rockefeller's obviously found the FedEx ground hub. We're looking at some warehousing, some additional warehousing in the area, and continuing to augment that aeronautical component of revenue with non-aeronautical revenue. So that changes that agricultural aspect of the surrounding area.
Thanks, Tom. We get to the end of this segment. This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Good evening. This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY. Here we are on our third segment tonight, and my guests this evening are Neil Copland, Bruce Palmer, and Tom Stott. Gentlemen, welcome again.
Thanks.
Okay, back to the survey. Percent of businesses participating in our survey that did report increase in their revenues over the last 6 months actually increased. And this is a very interesting part that we are seeing, that businesses are saying that their revenues has increased. However, looking at their expected revenues over the next year, that businesses are now reporting that their expected revenues over the next 6 months is dropping, in the sense that not that individual businesses think they're going to make less money. It is that the percent of companies that reported they expect an increase in their revenues in the next 6 months has been dropping since the middle of 2016, has nothing to do with elections or anything. And this is an interesting aspect because the economy has been still expanding, and we are growing at a pretty good shape. Last year was 2.3%. Year before was 1.5%. Year prior to that was 2.9%. We are doing pretty good for a while in terms of economic growth for the size of economy that we are. But businesses now are starting to become either more cautious or really expect fewer of them are expecting higher revenues. Bruce, what do you see?
My opinion on that, Cameron, would be a couple of things. One, and Neil touched on this in an earlier segment, the memory of the Great Recession. We're now a decade down the road, right, but for a lot of our closely held business owners, that memory still lingers. They learned to do more with less. Mm-hmm. They did a lot more work on their own, put in more hours in their business, did without fewer employees, things like that. I think that's probably a factor in what you're seeing here, in that some of these businesses have continued to grow, but without really expanding their infrastructure to a great degree in terms of additional employees. Mm-hmm. I like to say fear is a more powerful motivator than greed. And so that fear of overexpanding, overhiring, mm-hmm, they're still cautious, and maybe they're now to some degree at capacity individually as owners of the business. They're putting in so many hours, they can't put in more hours, mm-hmm, and that becomes a factor in trying to grow the business. Yeah. And making that leap of faith to now hire more employees is the question. Can they do that, or will they do that?
Okay. Well, that's a very good observation. You're right. And it is very surprising to see that based on economic data, and particularly the percent of businesses that expect their revenues to drop is slightly diminishing, but is relatively constant over the same period. But the percent of those that they're going to have more is not going up. Tom, you guys planning to hire a lot more people? What are you looking at revenues over the next 6 months? I'm trying to shake some information out of him. He's very tight with those things.
Yeah, we keep those numbers close. But, I think so. Our 2018 operating budget, our total revenues are at about $31 million. And so pretty consistent over that period. So I don't know that from our perspective. I think, listening to Bruce, I think we're, kind of in that same position. The authorities obviously moving very conservatively in their budget process, and while we've have some great initiatives going on, mm-hmm, we are really cautious about how we're moving forward. And yet, as Neil knows, as a board member with the authority, we've added a number of staff positions in that budget compared to 2017, because we recognize that we're at that capacity. Mm-hmm. And so, now it's being strategic about adding some positions back, but also finding the right fit to the point of, can we find those people that we're looking for to fill those positions strategically? And so I think that really does sum up a lot of the conversation we've been having, kind of where we see ourselves and this point early in 2018.
Okay. Neil, about 20 years ago, we were doing, as one of the studies we were doing for a bank, marketing director calls me and says, why don't we ask people if they want to use their smartphones to do banking? And I said, what? Mm-hmm. They can't wait until they get to their office or home, mm-hmm, to do that. Who would use that? And he said, no, we want that. So we included that in the questionnaire. And then as soon as the results came in, I called him and said, obviously, you're as old as I am, because you didn't think that is all important. The problem, the observation, the result of that one question was people, younger people, everybody, almost a huge number of people below age of 40, all said, yeah, we want it. People, how many of those positions will go off? 60 said, who would want that? Change the way it is coming. The need for, even nowadays, going to the bank to deposit your check. You can just do it with your smartphone. Mm-hmm. how many of those positions will go away as you're looking to the future? Not necessarily only this year, but 2-3 years in advance.
Well, in 1989, took over a bank branch for a bank that used to be the headquarters for the bank. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we had 26 employees working in that branch, no less than 12 tellers. I would guess today that very branch probably has 7 or 8 people.
So 26.
From 26. So we've already seen that that occur over the years slowly. Mm-hmm. From 1989 until I left that position, we went from 26 to 19 employees, and finding ways even into the 1990s how to adjust. And technology was nowhere near, at that point. So now we have this huge impact today with all the technology, to the point the under 40 crowd wants it on their phones. They want to have access. And if you would do a survey of how many people under 40 today balance their checkbooks, I would put it in around 10 to 12%. Not happen today.
That's
they
true.
Check their balances by going on their phone. I've got money. I can take some out. And they, up in their head, most everything is done electronically out of their accounts, all their bills, and their pays come directly in. So I'm back to the days of 1982 and Social Security Day the 3rd. We were crazily busy. Now there's no difference. So long and short of it, we've seen this in banking already, and it will continue to head in that direction to the point where it levels out on what the true need of bank branching to be is, to be really there when you need advice. When you have a problem, you always want to talk to somebody who's alive and breathing. To resolve things, but that's the direction we're having, and that's the impact it's had on the banking workforce.
Well, it is a structural change. It is there was a time that you wanted to cash a check, you had to go there. You wanted to definitely deposit, you had to go there. You nowadays you can open an account even without going there, and then there are all these online banking that are coming in, and they may not even have a branch. Even one branch around here, and they share some of your customers.
Definitely. And there's another point I'll add to this. We might have had a reduction in the number of people sitting in the branch. It's not to the point there's a lot of saving of money that is going on today, because we have to redeploy resources to protect customer information. To our new fraudster is on the computer today. And all the different ways you can get into banking are also threats to the bank. So banks had to reallocate those resources into technology and protection to protect the bank and customers.
Very good. Okay. After the election, we clearly observed a spike in Valley's business sentiment. That, however, quickly went away as expectations were not met. However, with the passage of the tax reduction law, there clearly has been a change in expectation. And business sentiment in the Valley is starting to go up, and the January, it is very clear indication of the same. Bruce, this is your neck of the woods. How's this change in taxes going to affect us?
Well, there's no doubt the thrust of the tax law changes were really aimed at larger businesses, your major public companies, corporations that have activity overseas, repatriate some of that money back here to the states and redeploy it, either in terms of spending, hiring, bonuses to employees. You've seen a lot of news about that. The real benefit to the smaller companies, I think, will be more of a domino effect down the road. Okay. If you look at who's affected by this, again, it's the large companies, the manufacturers to a great degree, and real estate as well. You'll see a lot of spending on new construction, a lot of spending on new equipment for facilities for manufacturers. I think Neil and his bank will see a lot of loan requests for expansion opportunities in those areas. The smaller, closely held businesses hopefully will see some residual effect from all that spending, but that probably won't happen for 6 months, 9 months, a year down the road. We'll see.
So this thing that the top tax rate for businesses just dropped from 35 to, was it 20?
21 for a C corporation.
For C corps. Wouldn't that automatically say that if I made $100 profit last year as a C corp, and last year I could keep $65 of it as profit, after-tax profit, and this year I make exactly the same amount, but this year I can keep $79 of it as after-tax profit. So all of a sudden, my profit has gone up significantly. Wouldn't that impact the process?
Well, it's a big factor, no doubt about that. There were some other changes that go in the other direction, elimination of certain deduction, limitation on other business deductions. So it won't be a straight dollar savings of the tax reduction. But again, I think you'll see that play out, again, in the larger corporations, the multinational corporations, the C corporations, mostly focused on manufacturing and real estate.
Okay. Neil, what have you seen in that?
Well, again, with the expectation of the tax cuts coming through, there's some of the smaller businesses, clients of ours, that are actually expecting taxes to go up to a degree because of some of the metrics that are changing. And Bruce obviously is the expert on that type of scenario. So it's looking that as a possibility. In the sense, again, with the deployment of this proposed tax cut, there's implications when it comes to tax-free type of debt that's taking on, which is impacting banks and things like that, in the sense that the corporate tax obviously is very helpful, but the yield changes when there's a tax cut like this. Mm-hmm. So these are the different things that are falling into play. And again, I think Bruce has described it well of who will benefit the most mm-hmm. from it.
Tom, you have a lot of clients which are very large companies, the airlines and such. Does this change in tax make them make more use of Lehigh Valley International Airport? Would be more. I'm trying to see if there will be any benefits for our neck of the woods in all of this.
Right. I think you probably won't see that trickle down to our level from an air carrier perspective, but I think. From the individual perspective, what does that mean in terms of how people and businesses are spending for travel? Mm-hmm. Obviously we've talked a lot about technology here today and some of the other segments and how that element certainly has an impact on air travel and particularly business travel. So does it change for us? I don't think you're going to see a big shift in terms of what's happening on that air carrier side mm-hmm. of things. But I do think we've seen a small uptick into that the last quarter of this year and carrying into next year in terms of some additional travel and purchasing power.
Oh, okay. Well, we are in the seventh year of this recovery. And like all recoveries, growth eventually slows down. We are at a place where unemployment rate is almost at full employment level. And the economy is doing pretty well, and with the growth rate over the last 3 years being very good, we are seeing a lot of strong points here. But then we look at, for example, University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index and their January results, which was a big drop right after the tax cuts went through and Congress passed them. There was consumer sentiment went up, but then I guess people went and talked to Bruce and said, maybe not for me as much. And consumer sentiment dropped in January. So we are looking at uncertainty in that department. However, the tax cuts, however it affects individual entities, it is clear that in the short term, it will increase the deficit. And then $1 trillion, or now as of last night, $1.5 trillion increase in the infrastructure bill that may pass through the Congress will cause further increases in deficit. And what that will do, regardless of anything else, and definitely we need an infrastructure project to go through with all the roads and bridges and airports needing fixing, but One thing this is going to do definitely is that it will increase deficit and interest rates. And as interest rate goes up, some of the gains that we see on the tax side may be eaten up by having to pay more on interest rates. And of course, the only person who is happy and laughing here is Neil, because banks are, regardless of what happened, interest rate goes up, banks will benefit. So, Neil.
It's been a long time that we've been in very low interest rates as a banking world. But I think you really nailed everything on the head of what the downside of this is. You get savings in one area, it costs more in another.
Yeah.
And that's the risk, you know. So I think it's like anything in through your whole survey, there's some businesses and individuals that will do very well by the tax cut, and there's some that will not do very well, or their costs will go up. Mm-hmm. And the case is this economy changes and the deficits continue to go up and continue to increase in interest rates. There's some people that will benefit from that, and there's some people mm-hmm. that will negatively impact in the long run. And one of the biggest challenges into the future is home ownership in a lot of ways. So it's kind of interesting in the future to see how this is going to impact home ownership, yeah. most notably in the Lehigh Valley.
Bruce, as this tax deductibility of mortgages and such goes down, and reduction property taxes goes down, what happens to the tax break that we expect to get if we can't deduct our mortgage and property taxes and stuff like that?
Well, there's no doubt to some extent it has an impact on home ownership and people purchasing new homes. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt in the real estate market today, at the entry level or just above that, there's already a shortage of inventory, so that has some impact as well. We have a number of realtor clients, and they bemoan the fact they have a lot of buyers interested. There just aren't sellers, and the opportunity isn't there in some cases. And now with this new change in the tax laws, some of those buyers may no longer have interest because the cost just went up after tax in those situations for many of yeah. those people. I would submit, though, we were talking about the tax bill and the impact on clients. We're doing, in many cases, 17-year tax returns right now, and as we do those, we're also doing projections for 2018 to see what impact these new rules have on our clients. Mm-hmm. And Neil is right, in many cases, a lot of our higher income clients will pay more tax, not less. There's a rate reduction, but they're losing some of these tax deductions that they used yeah. to enjoy, mm-hmm. and net-net, they will pay more tax. That's the harsh reality.
Wow. Very good. On that fun note, my guests this evening are Neil Coplin, Executive VP, Lehigh Valley and Delaware Region President, People's Securities Bank and Trust, Bruce Palmer, Managing Shareholder, Banco Nasecchi and Company, and Thomas Dodd, Interim Executive Director, Lehigh Northampton Airport Authority. This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY.